Okay, so you're making $90 an hour. Just to compare versus like a job, do you have a sense for like what revenue would be like this year?
I'm probably going to triple that.
So in the beginning, you talked about this year, you're seeing a lot of growth. I'm curious what's causing that.
I think what's really changed is my confidence to go out and sign more people.
This is like my favorite part of this conversation because I got the sense that you weren't sure you wanted to be an entrepreneur, like a reluctant entrepreneur almost. I'm curious, like, has your perspective on being an entrepreneur changed?
I definitely think it has. When I kept going on this, you know, and didn't just give up right away, it really showed me that, you know, if you put so much work into something, it can become really quite big.
I'm curious, when you think about what might be next, do you have like ideas that are like you're kicking around?
One big idea is completely different to what I'm doing now, but...
Welcome to Future Titans, where we spotlight remarkable middle and high school entrepreneurs building real businesses that solve real problems. Every founder we speak to has received a $1,000 Formidable Fellowship grant. It's not equity, it's not debt, just a bit of inspiration capital to say, keep doing what you're doing. If you're a student entrepreneur, we'd love to support you too. Just visit formidablefellowship.org to apply for a grant. It takes less than 5 minutes. And if you believe in empowering young builders, consider supporting our mission. All contributions are tax deductible. Now on to the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to Future Titans, where we spotlight remarkable young entrepreneurs. Today I'm excited to introduce Angelina, who's built a really great company. So let me start by having Angelina introduce herself. If you could tell us where you go to school, where you live, and your age and grade, that would be great.
Perfect. So my name's Angelina Ford. I'm a senior at Arlington Heights High School here in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm 17 and I own a dog walking business.
Okay, amazing. And if, for those of you who've listened to Future Titans before, the high school Angelina goes to is, you probably heard it now a few times. We've had a few winners from that school. So I want to first recognize Glenn Tidwell. He's the entrepreneurship teacher over there, and he's sent us remarkable young entrepreneurs like Angelina and several others. So thanks to him. But let's jump in. Let's talk about your business. You know, what is your business? What does it do? And give us a sense for how big it is, how much revenue or sales you did last year.
Yeah, so I started my dog walking business at the beginning of last year. It was kind of a huge thing for me. You know, I couldn't really work in the States at that time. So I was trying to figure out how to make my own money and find ways around the complications of that. And so I came into this class with Mr. Tidwell, a business class, and the whole class is based around, you know, having your own business. So I started talking with him and it kind of came to life with him. And so I got an app actually. It's called Rover. And that's where I started hosting my cell phone for dog walking and anything around related to that. And that's kind of how it started off. I also made, you know, really rough draft cards to give to people with my business class. So that really helped introduce myself to the neighborhood. And yeah.
Cool. And then what did you do last year in terms of revenue?
So last year I made $2,000. Since then, I've made quite a bit more. I think I've been more invested into it this year. So.
Okay, nice. All right. So 2025 is off to a rocking start.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, that's great. That's awesome. All right, I want to dig into what happened there, but let's go back to the entrepreneurship class. So you took this in your junior year?
I took this in my junior year.
Okay.
And then my senior year, yes.
Okay, nice. All right. And so did you go through a bunch of different business ideas as part of that class? And like, I'm curious what your process was. If you did that, what was your process to like discard some of those ideas and that what got you to dog walking eventually?
So yeah, we do go through a lot of business ideas in my class. I tried to go a little more realistic to what could work with me, kind of where I'm located, where I live, what's around me. And also, of course, you know, your funds and how you can start. I was thinking with, you know, nothing. And dog walking was kind of the perfect idea since I love dogs. I love being around them. I have experience in that. And I think it was an easy way to get into the business as an entrepreneur.
Cool. I love it. And so what, if you remember, like, it was dog walking versus what else? Like, what else kind of got to the short list of potential ideas?
So, yeah, I had dog walking. I had, you know, like cleaning houses, going over, cleaning the house. Also, you know, babysitting or like house sitting where you go over and you just take care of the house for someone. So, yeah, those were my main ideas, but didn't end up choosing those.
Okay. Can we go back and maybe it was just a gut instinct thing, but I think a lot of like young entrepreneurs, they see lots of ideas, right? Especially with like social media, there's a bunch of ideas, you know, that you can get into. And like what were the things that made you lean towards dog walking? You mentioned you liked dogs and you'd maybe done it before, but like were there other factors that you looked at? Like, oh, I can get paid more here. The hours are better. Like, you know, what other things did you prioritize to figure out that dog walking is where you should build your business versus one of those other areas?
Yeah. So, I thought it was a kind of a perfect business to start in. I definitely want to go up from that, but I think the price is great. I researched a lot about kind of what people would charge, and I think it was a pretty good starting price for me. Also, in my neighborhood, there's a bunch of dogs, and I kind of noticed that, and I thought, you know, people could definitely use some help. A lot of older people live in my neighborhood, so I think that they would need a lot of help. So, those were my main points for that.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think there's actually a lot of insight there, right? You have... you live in a community where there's a market, right? So that makes your life easier, right? You know, if you lived in a building where there were no dogs allowed, that would make your life a lot more difficult, right? You had demographics which were in your favor, right? Which you had older people who maybe just can't, for any number of reasons, be as active as required to do the things with their dogs as required. And then it looks like you looked at the pricing and you were like, oh, this could make me kind of, you know, the money that I'm hoping to make, right? So it's actually like, it's a very thoughtful way of approaching it. Okay, so you are in this class, you narrow it down from house sitting, babysitting, et cetera, down to dog walking. Walk us through then how you got the first customer. You said business cards, like, were you putting those under people's doors or on their windshields, or did you just go up to somebody who you saw with a dog on the street? Like, how'd you get that first customer?
So, yeah, the first customer I got, like I said, there's a lot of dogs in my neighborhood. So, you know, every time I go out for a walk or something, I always see one person. So I started making, you know, really rough draft business cards. And I just thought I should go for it. So I started going up to people. I wouldn't give them the card right away. I'd kind of just get to know them, you know, ask to pet their dog, and then I'd see them again. And then that's eventually where I'd explain to them that, you know, I have a dog business. If you need any help, you know, I live in the area. And yeah, that's how I got my first few customers.
Okay. All right. So I think you're being like, it's great. You're like modest, right? But like, there's actually, from like a sales perspective, there's a lot of goodness in what you did, because you didn't actually, it sounds like you didn't go for the close on the first time you met them, right? You just tried to build some rapport, you know, show that you're good with dogs and just get to know them at like a human level. And then maybe the second or third time is when you sort of let them know that, hey, you know, that I'm in this business and I can help you. Is that kind of the general strategy? Okay.
Yeah, if you go up to someone right away, you know, and tell them all these things, it's a little scary. So I think building something before that is definitely good.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's very smart. I mean, I think that creates a lot more familiarity with you. So the idea, like, if I'm in 11th or 12th grade, just remembering back to when I was that age, like, I would be petrified of going up to strangers, like, no doubt, right? I just wouldn't, like, it would take a, I'd have to, like, really work myself up to do that, because I was a pretty introverted kid. Like, where did that come from? Are you just an outgoing person, or was that first time going up to somebody, was your, like, you know, heart beating and your you know, heart was in your throat, kind of? Like, how easy was that?
I mean, it was definitely nerve-wracking, I think. But I knew also the first time I'd go up to someone, I didn't have that much pressure because I knew I was just, you know, saying hi, petting their dog and saying have a good day. But it's definitely nerve-wracking, mostly because you don't want to get shut down right away. But I realized that that's the whole point. You need to kind of go out there and just do as many times as you can, and hopefully someone comes back to you.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I wonder, do you have a sense for now, how many dogs do you have to sort of pet and do that whole thing with to get a customer? Is it like for every 20 dogs, I kind of go through that one or two sort of meetings, we'll call them, I end up getting a dog walking customer? Or is the hit rate better or worse than that?
So I've noticed that going up to people and kind of starting a conversation first, I get more people doing that than just straight on, you know, saying that I have a dog business and all that. But it's kind of hard to know. A lot of people are different, maybe not looking for the same thing, or just not interested at all. So, you know, I've got pretty good hit on going up to people. I think it's more popular when they see your face and kind of talk to you and know who you are a little more than, you know, posting the ad online. So I think it was much more popular to me.
Okay. And is that still the primary way you get customers, or do you get customers now through Rover, or do your business cards that you keep, maybe, you know, you put around, are those getting you customers? Like, what's the primary method?
So the primary method right now is probably going up to people. But I do get people through the app Rover. But of course, you're not seeing that person. You have to kind of create trust with the person, you know, to take care of their pet. So, yeah, going up to people is the primary.
It's the best way. Okay. If you could draw up the ideal profile of a person, when you see them, you're like, oh, yeah, this person's going to become a customer, right? Like, what are their characteristics? Like, male, female, old, young, with kids, without kids? Like, you know, have you figured out, like, there's a type that is most attracted to your services?
So, yeah. Sometimes it's hard to know because, you know, it's just one person walking. But I think, as I said, the older people out walking, it's definitely more attractive to them. And also couples. When I see couples with a dog, I think they both have jobs. They're kind of doing a bunch of things. And I've actually talked with some of my customers, and they said that, you know, they both have jobs and they need someone to take care of their dog while they're both at work. So, yeah, it's mostly couples and then older, you know, seniors.
Okay. That's great. So I think, like, going, you're sort of you're doing equivalent of, like, door-to-door sales, right? Obviously, you're not going door-to-door, right? But, like, it's a super underrated skill, and I think more people should do it. And then you've kind of figured out what a good profile looks like, and the only way to do that is by talking to lots of people, as you've presumably done, which is great. So let's talk about pricing, right? Like, it looks like you did some research before you even started the business about what pricing would look like. How your research versus today, what pricing actually is, how similar are they?
So, yeah, when I started looking at pricing, I also got it from other entrepreneurs in my school, kind of what they were charging to other people. But I started off quite low as a price just to kind of get people in and kind of get it running. But then I've definitely increased the price, knowing that, you know, a lot of people actually do need help with their dogs. And, you know, it's dogs for them, or any animal, are very precious to them. So I noticed a lot of people will do anything for them. So yeah, the price kind of started between $12. I noticed that people charged, you know, 25 to 30. But at first, I didn't think that I would get any customers if I charged that much. But now I realize, you know, I can.
Okay, that's cool. And so what made you realize, though, that you could do that? Was it just like you started to feel more confident in your own abilities, or you were just getting too many customers and you're like, I have to raise prices because, like, I just can't keep up with demand? Like, were there a couple of moments that made you realize you could, because it sounds like you've more than doubled or maybe 2.5 times your price. So, like, was there something that made you see that?
I think what I saw was from other businesses the most. Not necessarily from mine, but from, you know, customers in other businesses. And like, I have this one.
Okay, so you're making $90 an hour. So just to compare versus like a job, right? Like if you're working, you know, per hour, like it's pretty hard to make $90 an hour. Obviously, you don't always have 3 dogs. So sometimes it might be 30, sometimes it might be 60. Okay. That's great. So in the beginning, you talked about this year, you're seeing a lot of growth. I'm curious, like, what's changed or what's causing that, if you have a diagnosis of that?
I think what's really changed is my confidence to go out and find more people. When I first started out, you know, I would only go a few times a week, maybe once or twice a week, to, you know, like dog parks or just walk around my neighborhood and see people. But yeah, I think it was mainly my confidence, because I realized the more I ask people, the more people I get.
Okay. All right. I love it. That's great. So just, yeah, you're just getting after it more and it's working. So if you had to like take what's happened in this early part of 2025 and like, let's say that stayed consistent for this year, do you have a sense for like what revenue would be like this year? You did 2,000 last year. Are we talking like double or triple?
So yeah, I'd have to calculate that for sure, but I definitely think that considering my prices now, I'm probably going to triple that.
Oh wow!
Hopefully, all right. Yeah.
Good for you. That's tremendous. All right, so 200x, 200% growth, which is phenomenal. I think when we were talking earlier, you talked about theater and some other things that you do. So like, is some of your poise and your ability to publicly speak and stuff, is it coming because of your experiences in those kind of extracurricular activities?
So yeah, I was in a class, theater class last year, and they really, you know, theater of course is putting yourself out there. And I think it's very much helped me in, you know, in real life. I think the teachers are great as well. And, you know, you can't hide behind something and expect it to go well. I also had a few, you know, professional speaking classes, this year and last year. And those as well, you know, prepare you for, you know, university and college. And, but it's, yeah, it's tremendously helped me.
Cool. That's great. So entrepreneurship class, public speaking class, theater. Was that a class or a club?
Theater was a class, but it was also a club.
Okay. All right. And so you're learning all of these things in like what I guess folks might call electives, right? They're not like your core math, science, you know, English language arts, etc. So I'm curious, like when you look at school, what do you think school gets right about what they teach you, and maybe what do you wish they did more of?
So I definitely think that electives, if you see, you know, in the curriculum, there are more classes to have fun. But I think overall, I think that school is pretty great. I think it kind of gives you the basics to life. There's definitely a few things I wish I would learn. But yeah, overall, I think that it does pretty well for you as a start.
Okay, that's good. And what are those things you wish you could learn at school, or that you feel like, you know, maybe are areas of opportunity?
I think what's really important is maybe financial classes.
Okay. So
kind of that talk about money and, you know, things that you kind of have to learn on your own as life goes on. But yeah, I wish they really put like subjects that you don't really have, such as like, how can I explain this? Like taxes or anything that has to deal with, you know, money or paying the government, anything in that. Yeah.
Okay. And so before you started the dog walking business, it sounds like because you couldn't get a sort of typical 9-to-5 or like an hourly job, right? For other reasons. Is that right?
Yes. That's
okay. Okay. Got it. And so how has making money on your own kind of changed your perceptions of money? Like, are you investing it in some way? Or are you saving it? Like, what are you doing with the money you're making?
So yeah, currently what I'm doing with the money is truly just saving it till I know, you know, for sure what I want to do with it. I'm also quite young, so I'm just kind of trying to enjoy my job, you know, enjoy these last few months I have left. And then, yeah, hopefully, you know, go to college or university, take a business class of some sort. But yeah, I truly want to get more into entrepreneurship and have my own business someday. So I'm just kind of preparing for that.
Okay, good. So you're kind of squirreling it away. And what did you do with the Formidable Fellowship grant? Did you invest that in ads or something? Or are you kind of like also saving that for the big entrepreneurship reveal later on?
So most of it I did save. But I did make business cards, which were pretty nice. I think people like a little more official cards. So, you know, they know you're into it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like putting a professional appearance on what you do indicates that you take it seriously and you're not just like, you know, doing this as some side hustle all the time. Okay. That's great. You said you use the Rover app. I'm curious, if we had the Rover product team in front of us right now and you as a user of it could give them feedback on something that would make their product more useful to you as a dog walker, what are some things you'd tell them?
Well, overall, their app is pretty good. One thing, how they make their profit is they take a percentage of what you make each time that you get a customer. Honestly, I don't know if I have any feedback. You know, it's a great app that they have. You know, it shows everyone in the area that needs anyone or needs help. You can contact them directly on there. You can call them, you know, face to face. So, yeah, I don't think I have any feedback to give.
Okay. So, but you would like them to take less of a cut, I imagine.
That's definitely true, yeah.
Okay. All right. That's good. So, all right. I'm curious about Rover. I'm going to sort of just digress a little bit. So, and I know you would never do this. So I'm just saying, generally speaking, okay?
Okay.
I'm walking my dog. You see me, you come up to me, you pet my dog, and you tell me about your business. I get it. You get to keep 100% then, right? You get it through Rover. I come through Rover, and they take, what do they take, 30%, 20%?
So, yeah, they take around, 25, 30%, yeah. there's the price that you're charging on there.
Got it. Okay. So why wouldn't you just tell me, hey, next time, you know, I'll charge you, instead of 30, I'll charge you 26, but just pay me directly. Like, why do people stick with Rover? I've never understood that.
I think why they stick with that is, you know, as I said, going up to people is how I started it. But I think when people don't want to do that, they go through, you know, apps where there's already people on there that need help. So, you know, you just message them, you put a profile on, they see it, and they hopefully, you know, respond. Because you have, like, the area that you work in. So if they live there, you know, it's perfect for them. So I definitely think it's a little bit easier to, well, for some people that don't want to go up to people. Yeah, it's an easier way, I think.
Okay, cool. And so as you think about growing this business, so it sounds like you're contemplating college, or you've made a decision to go to college next year?
Next year, yes, I do want to go to college.
Okay, okay. And do you think this is a business that you would maintain, you know, and continue to do in college? Or would this be like, all right, that was a fun entrepreneurial venture, I'm going to go do my next one when I get to college? What do you think about that?
Yeah, so at the moment, I think I'm going to keep my business going. I think because of that price change, I see it, you know, it keeps just building up. I do think eventually I will stop and go to my next idea. But at the moment, I'm quite happy with where things are going.
Cool. That sounds great. I mean, you're growing really fast. Have you ever thought about hiring other people to do the work? And like, you don't, because right now you're doing all the walking, I guess, with the dogs.
Yes.
Right. Have you ever like thought about contracting it out to somebody, or not yet?
So, yeah, I've definitely thought about it. There's a few people in my class that know about my business and, you know, have asked, and I've had people come up to me and, you know, say, oh, if you ever need anybody, you know, they could help. I haven't really thought about it too much. I think I do like being the one and only boss. But if I do consider, you know, going farther in this, I definitely do think I should find a few people.
Okay. Okay. I know the first time we chatted, when you were kind of interviewing for the grant, I got the sense that you weren't sure you wanted to be an entrepreneur, right?
Yes. That's right.
It feels a little different this time, yeah. Right? Like maybe with the growth and you've just got more confidence, I see. I'm curious, like, has your perspective on being an entrepreneur changed since, you know, we talked a few months ago?
I definitely think it has. I think just when I kept going on this, you know, and didn't just give up right away, it really showed me that, you know, if you put so much work into something, it can become something, you know, really quite big. So yeah, I just decided to keep on going and hopefully turns out for the best.
Okay, cool. I love it. This is like my favorite part of this conversation, because I remember getting off our first call and like I would call you then like a reluctant entrepreneur almost, right? And like now I feel like you're embracing being an entrepreneur, which I think is awesome, because I think you're a really good entrepreneur. So that makes me very happy to hear that. I'm curious, when you think about what might be next, do you have like ideas that are like you're kicking around and, you know, you want to go do next? What do those look like?
So one big idea is completely different to what I'm doing now, but I was always had an idea to have like my own gym. I have a few members in my family that actually do have their own gym, and like some family friends. I've been always really attracted to that. I think I've always liked going to the gym, and I think smaller ones, they focus more on the people, and that's kind of what I like. Not just like a big gym that you go to. smaller ones is kind of what I would love to be doing. So yeah, that's one big thing.
Okay, cool. All right. So we'll see that in your future at some point. Great. All right. And so I want to actually go way back to Mr. Tidwell in the beginning, right? So it seems like, because I think three or four entrepreneurs have come through him. So clearly he's kind of doing something right in his class. I'm just curious, like, if you could maybe unpack what you think is happening in his class that makes him an effective teacher of entrepreneurship. And I guess I don't know him well. He and I have spoken once. Is he an entrepreneur himself? I'm just curious, like, your perspective on his class and him as a teacher and a coach.
So, yeah, since last year, you know, he's been the closest help to me. I think all kids kind of have this one teacher where they just stick to and they go to them for everything. But yeah, his class is really great. You know, he focuses on things from his own life too. He gives us life advice, and he does have his own business. He's never really talked about it too much. He likes to keep it hidden, but yeah, he takes most life skills, what he's learned, what he's doing now, and kind of puts that onto us. I also think that, you know, school and classes are kind of on one curriculum, but he definitely tends to add things that aren't in that. And I think that's what it makes much better.
Okay. So it's just a more engaging kind of like, and sounds like he just cares too, which is important. And yeah, I respect that Mr. Tidwell doesn't tell a bunch of you guys who are sharks his idea, because you'll all come out and probably build a business now. He's got like 20 competitors. So that's maybe a smart move that he keeps that on the down low. Okay, great. So that class has sounded really, really instrumental. I'm curious, outside of Mr. Tidwell's class, are there other entrepreneurs, local, you know, on YouTube, kind of, you know, famous ones that you look to and you're inspired by, or that you feel like you've learned stuff from?
So yeah, they're mostly the inspiration that I've got is from kids at school. But I also got inspiration from some YouTubers online. One of them is called More J Stu. They're quite big. And they give honestly a lot of advice. They have a podcast too, which I listen to sometimes. And, you know, they make me push myself to kind of become that. So yeah, those are the majority of my inspiration, but also my family. I think, my uncle especially, he's been through quite a few jobs. But now he just settled down to be a plumber, and now he has his own little plumbing business. And yeah, I take from that as well.
Okay, cool. And what was the name of the YouTube channel? More J Stu?
Yes.
Okay. And what's their like focus? I'm not familiar with that channel.
So yeah, their focus is, honestly, it's for younger, you know, people like me, teens, maybe till 20 years old, but, they focus on kind of just having fun, and, yeah, they always come up with cool video ideas of, for example, 24 hours, I don't know, on Mount Everest or something like that. And it's just, really nice to see people that go out of their way. And, you know, like, these videos cost quite a bit. So I realize you kind of need to put yourself out there and trust that people will give back for that.
Okay, cool. If we could get the crew from More J Stu in the room and you wanted to ask them advice on for your business or your next business, the gym business, like, is there anything that you think they could be really helpful on?
I think one thing is, how do you, like, where should I put my money? I think I have a hard time knowing what I should kind of invest into. because I do want to expand my business, but I'm not sure in what kind of direction I should, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think when we talked, you actually talked about adding other services. So I'm curious, like, where is that? And what are those services, and where are you in that kind of journey?
So yeah, I was thinking about, you know, dog washing, or like grooming mostly. Also, I have started doing dog runs and also dog sitting. But yeah, those are the majority of my ideas.
Okay, okay. And so, like, do you have like a handful of customers that you just kind of, and you keep adding to them, obviously, but every week you're walking their dog, I don't know, 2 times, 10 times, and then that's kind of just like a weekly subscription almost that they pay you?
Yeah, yes, I do have that.
Okay, okay, that's great. Yeah, I mean, it's really smart to potentially add some of these other services, right? Like, there's a sort of a, it's a lot more kind of, quote, expensive to get a new customer than to sell more stuff to an existing customer. I've made this mistake in my own business. Like, we've spent a lot of time and money trying to get new customers when we should have actually spent time just making existing customers even happier and, like, being the one-stop place for them. So, yeah, everything you detailed makes a lot of sense. I mean, the thing I love about your business is that you kind of did it with no startup capital, and pretty much every other thing you're doing requires very little investment. Like, it's a hustle. It's a hustle business. It's not like you need a lot of money to start this business. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I love about it. You know, it just started with nothing and basically all profit.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. Are there any, like, we were talking to another great entrepreneur, a guy named Ayan, and like he's doing baking, and there are all these like licenses and stuff he learned he needed, right? Like, to sell baked goods, you have to get like a cottage license and you have to get insurance and all this other stuff. In dog walking, I guess there's none of that. It's just like, just get out there, get customers, get paid.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. It's the best kind of business. Cool. I mean, I think for folks listening, you know, sometimes like I will hear from young entrepreneurs like, oh, I don't have money. Like, I need to do something to begin my company, right? And like, I think what Angelina's highlighting here is like, no, there's businesses that are just like hustle businesses that you can do without a big investment. You just got to get out there and start talking to people and petting some dogs in Angelina's case, and customers will show up. Okay, that's awesome. For those that are listening, you know, say somebody who, a young entrepreneur or young aspiring entrepreneur who like hears you and is like, oh, I could do that. I think I could do that. Like, but they still have some like reluctance or self-doubt. Like, what advice would you give them?
Honestly, one big line that I've heard from a lot of people is, if you really want it, you should go for it. You know, if you want it enough, it's, you know, you need to go for it. But yeah, honestly, it's so much funner having your own business than working, you know, an hourly paid job, because you have all the power and you're getting all the money. No one's taking from you. You could end the business really at any time, and move on to the next thing or make it bigger. But yeah, people shouldn't really be scared for it, because, you know, if you get knocked down, there's no one watching you to see you get knocked down. So yeah, it's all about really wanting it.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. That's a great insight. I mean, I think you sort of defined entrepreneurship really nicely, which is, it's freedom, right? You're not having to punch a clock. You're not being told what to do. You get to figure out your start and your end time. You get to figure out how big or small you want to make your business. So the freedom part is phenomenal. And then, you know, I just don't know if there's any other seniors making $90 an hour potentially, right? Like, that's pretty difficult, right? So that's you can also just make more money. So that's really great. Great advice. If somebody was interested in are you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So somebody has a dog and whatever, let's just say they're in your nearby area. Do you have Instagram and a presence there, or is it all kind of Rover and just going up to people?
Yeah, it's mostly just going up to people on Rover. I do have an Instagram, but I don't get that many people from there. I think it's just more to promote, I guess.
Where can people find that? And we'll put this in the show notes, so if anybody's got a dog or dogs that need to be walked, washed, dog sat, Angelina's your one-stop shop now for that.
So yeah, if you just go to, if you just write on Instagram, Cultural District Dog Walking, it should come right on up.
Okay, Cultural District Dog Walking, cool. We'll put that in the show notes. Awesome. Well, I'm really happy to see your transformation from, I'm not sure I want to be an entrepreneur, to, no, I'm an entrepreneur, and it, maybe if dog walking is not my last thing, I got other, my sights set on big things. I think that's fantastic. You've been sort of, you've come over to the dark side, which is good. So congrats on what you built. Congrats on 2025 being what sounds like a really awesome year. And yeah, you know, I think excited to see where you deploy the money from the fellowship to grow. But congrats again. You're an inspiration. And I'm excited to see where the business goes this year. So thanks, Angelina.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.